This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, party movements and alliances with Zafrul and Zuraida.
We couldn't resist. First, we're discussing Finance Minister Datuk Sri Tengku Zafrul Aziz's UMNO membership and calls for him to come clean on how long he's actually been a member. And then we look at the implications of Plantation and Commodities Minister Datuk Zuraida Kamarudin quitting Bersatu to join Parti Bangsa Malaysia. So that's it.
Tell us, how are you feeling about the news around Tengku Zafrul and Zuraida? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. That brings us to 6:08, and really it's a two-parter of a story today, right? So let's start with Tengku Zafrul. So now Tengku Zafrul has been asked to come clean on whether he had joined UMNO before his appointment as finance minister, which was of course during Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's administration in March 2020. And this is coming after UMNO SecGen Datuk Sri Haji Ahmad Maslan confirmed that the finance minister who was appointed as, who was known as an independent senator, was a technocratic appointment, essentially revealed that he's a longtime member of UMNO. And this comes amid speculation that the minister was looking to contest in the next GE. And so there have been now questions regarding the, what this means for someone who has, at least on paper, been perceived as an independent.
Yes, an independent and a technocrat. I think that that's important to say because, of course, the big narrative that surrounded Tengku Zafrul's appointment was his background in finance and what and that therefore that was what determined his suitability for the post, as opposed to party allegiances and and the expectation that comes with that, right, of having somebody who is more. Who is a technocrat as opposed to someone who would be serving or creating policy along the lines of party loyalties. So I think that is really one of the driving themes here. And among the voices that have been calling for more clarity has been Petaling Jaya MP Maria Chin Abdullah, who told Malaysia Kini that the finance minister owed it to Malaysians to correct the perception that he is an independent politician. She also asked which party he stands for, seeing as UMNO and Perikatan Nasional's views differ within the Dewan Negara. And meanwhile, we also have Kota Kinabalu MP Chan Fung Hin saying that this shows an independent technocrat minister does not exist in the system. So yeah, a lot of, like I said, I think that's the main thread that's emerging. So that kind of takes care of the Zafrul part of the story. Now we come to the other Z-named person, in other words, Zuraida Kamarudin.
Yes, so earlier today, Ampang MP Datuk Zuraida Kamarudin, who is of course also Plantations and Commodities Minister, announced that she has quit Bersatu to join Parti Bangsa Malaysia. So she said that she plans to meet with the Prime Minister as soon as possible to discuss her potential resignation as Minister and her reason for joining PBM. Just to sort of quote directly, she said she recognises the party's potential, especially at a time when Malaysians are tired of the old politics. And she said that she's attracted to PBM's core principles of multiracial engagement, women and youth empowerment, economic development, education, and advancement of science and technology.
So PBM was actually launched late last year. It's headed by Julau MP Larry Sung. And with her entry into the party, PBM currently has 3 MPs and 2 state assembly persons. So if you're hearing this and thinking, oh, this sounds familiar, this has a feel that like this has happened before. You may remember that Zuraida Kamarudin became a Bersatu Supreme Council member after she and 9 other PKR MPs defected to Bersatu to be part of the Muhyiddin Yassin administration in guess when, February 2022. And, you know, previously she had held the position of PKR VP and cabinet minister in charge of housing and local government within...
I can't believe you left out the L word, the L phrase.
I feel like at this point, Has everyone, I feel like even just saying Lanka gets people really freaked out. So, you know, I'm just trying to be kind. But yeah, so she had previously held pretty prominent positions within the Pakatan Harapan administration. So not her first time at the party change rodeo.
Yes, and of course, this has not gone over well with a lot of people. So PKR Secretary General, for instance, Dato' Sri Saifuddin Nasution Ismail, in an interview with FMT, called it a lesson for traitors and essentially says that now Bersatu should remove her from the cabinet since her ministership was based on the party's quota. So a lot to unpack here, really, political movements, key figures, ministers, actually, and what this might mean for their party allegiances as well as their careers. We would like to hear from you. How are you feeling about this news around Tengku Zafrul and Zuraida? You can call 77-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll kick things off after this by discussing the news around Tengku Zafrul. And for that, we'll be joined by Dr. Azmi Hassan, Senior Research Fellow at the Nusantara Academy for Strategic Research. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:14. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're discussing two news headlines that have come out about our ministers and the parties that they now belong to. So first, we're going to be looking at Dato' Sri Tengku Zafrul and his UMNO membership. Keep those thoughts coming. How are you feeling about the news around Tengku Zafrul as well as Zuraida? You can call 77-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now, Dr. Azmi Hassan, Senior Fellow at the Nusantara Academy for Strategic Research. Dr. Azmi, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So we've got confirmation from UMNO SecGen Ahmad Maslan that Tengku Zafrul was an UMNO member before he was finance minister. Talk to us about the significance of this.
I think a lot of people are members to a political party, but they were never active. I'm not sure when Tengku Zafrul became a member of UMNO. If you ask about the significance, I think I'm concur with when you said just now that Tengku Zafrul is an independent. He's a technocrat and also a professional. And I still hold belief that that is what Tengku Zafrul before this and currently.
So in a larger sense then, and this is an extension of your point, why does it matter if he's an UMNO member or an independent senator?
For myself, personal side, I would like to see ministers that are more independent, something like Tengku Zafrul, which are not tied to party's principle or ideology. When I say that Tengku Zafrul, even though he's an UMNO member, but he's not tied to, I would say, UMNO requests, especially on the EPF withdrawal 10,000 before this. I think Tengku Zafrul, he stick to his principle that it is not necessary, whereas a few UMNO leaders want this to be happen, I guess. So I think that even though Tengku Zafrul is an UMNO member, but As I've seen him, how he acts as a finance minister, he's not beholden to UMNO party.
So to extend that point, Zafrul was, of course, even from his appointment, touted to be a technocratic appointment. What are the different expectations for someone who's coming into a cabinet position from a technocratic point of view, as opposed to a party loyalist?
Well, when Zafrul went into as a finance minister, he made decisions based on facts, based on the importance of the nation and the people, because he got nothing to lose, basically, because he's not a politician, he's not a career politician. So that's the reason why Malaysians need more ministers like Tengku Zafrul as a minister, so that any decision made, whatever portfolio the senator hold, it is for the country, it is for the people, not for the party. I think that's what critical important in terms of Tengku Zafrul. When the Ahmad Maslan said that Tengku Zafrul is an UMNO member, I would see that it doesn't change much about UMNO and Tengku Zafrul.
I would just like to pick up on a point that you brought up earlier, which is that you said you would like to see more independent ministers. And I'm curious to know how you think our cabinet or our government might look different, right? Even the kinds of conversations that I had in Parliament, how might it look different if we did, in fact, have more true independence or more true independent voices speaking up?
Not only independent ministers, but more professional ministers, ministers that are elected via Dewan Negara. We've seen in Tunku Zafro and also before this, Tan Sri Wahid Omar, for example, they shine among the ministers. If a minister is from a party, it is going to be very difficult to make a decision contrary to the party needs. And sometimes the party needs is totally different from what the people need, what the nation needs. So I think that's very critical for us, I think, to have more senators inside our cabinet.
So then in that case, there has been a fair amount of criticism since this news came out, right? Calls of this being dishonest, for instance, or disingenuous in some ways. Where do you think this is coming from?
Well, I think you mean Tunku Zafro is an UMNO member?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I know. I think Tunku Zafro, I think he is right to say that he's not tied to any political party because when Tunku Zafro was elected, the perception is that he's elected via senator and he is a professional, as you said before this, a professional. I think it must come from the party itself, I guess. They want to show that Tunku Zafro is an UMNO member, and we have seen in the last few weeks Tunku Zafro is trying to find a place to contest. So I think this is not, the announcement is not for the general population, but basically for UMNO grassroots. Please accept Tunku Zafro as your member and as a candidate for G15. Maybe, I'm not sure.
So we have seen MPs run as independents and then join parties or align with parties later on. What kind of clarity should we expect from MPs or senators about their party ties or commitment to staying independent?
Yes, I think this is regarding our bill on anti-hopping. I think when an independent, they should remain as independent. They want the seat as independent because the perception is that this particular candidate is not tied to any party. So when they join other party after winning the seat, I think that is not fair for the voters because there is some kind of perception that in mind, the candidate has in mind they want to join another party. So I guess when independent won a seat, they should remain as an independent.
So several opposition leaders have actually called for Tunku Zafro to clarify on the timing of his membership. What do you expect to see here?
I think the timing is because UMNO is trying to figure out the candidate. And as I said before, Tunku Zafro is trying to find a constituency that he needs to contest. But again, I don't see any reason for Tunku Zafro to contest. I think the reason why this particular thing crop out is because want to convince the UMNO that Tunku Zafro is our man, so he should be a candidate. But again, thinking long term, to give a good vibe for independent ministers, I think Tunku Zafro should not contest in whether using UMNO or Perikatan Nasional. I think he should have no contest because during his tenure as a finance minister, he has done a good job. He is giving a good perception that independent minister can do a good job for the nation.
So we do have this message from Wing Chong who says dishonest. And I was wondering, you know, how do you think public perceptions of Tunku Zafro might be affected by this?
Yeah, I think the dishonest part came out because Tunku Zafro never declared that he's an UMNO member. I think that part only. But in terms of his responsibility to the nation as a finance minister, I think he's done a very straightforward job, not too much incline or UMNO, not too much, I would say, pursue UMNO objective. I don't think so. So on the part of dishonest used by the term used, I think it is unfair for Tunku Zafro.
Are there any key decisions or policies that stand out for you looking back at Tunku Zafro's tenure?
Especially on the iCitra, the 10,000 ringgit withdrawal, from my perception, from what I read in the news, Tengku Zafro never agreed to that particular strategy, where a few UMNO leaders have been pushing for it. And I think that's a principle by Tengku Zafro by not agreeing to Ayer Citra going against to UMNO, which is his party. I think that's what stands out. The responsibility that Tengku Zafro performed as an independent minister.
So you've spoken about Tengku Zafro's performance briefly, but I was wondering if you could tell us about his general popularity as a minister, not just among the public, but also his fellow cabinet and party members.
I think comparing to Khairi Jamaluddin, I think both Tengku Zafro and Khairi Jamaluddin, even though Khairi Jamaluddin is not that popular within his own party, I think they have done a good job. So trying to comparing among the cabinet minister, I think Tengku Zafro has done a good job compared to Khairi Jamaluddin as the health minister. So I think it's not important whether he is popular among the cabinet, but the most important thing is that the people know that any decision made by the Ministry of Finance is based on facts, not based on the requirement of a certain party.
So you touched on this a little bit. There is speculation that Tengku Zafro may run in the upcoming GE. Do you see him being an asset for UMNO?
Because UMNO, to be a candidate in UMNO, you have to start from bottom, meaning that you have to be a leader in Cawangan or Ketua Bahagian, and Tengku Zafro is none of this. So to say that UMNO will gain advantage by putting Tengku Zafro as a candidate, I don't think so. On the other hand, if Tengku Zafro is an asset to UMNO also, I don't think so. Because I'm still steadfast with the decision that, with the perception that Tengku Zafro should not run for GE15 because he is not a career politician. I think that is very, very glaring during his tenure as a Minister of Finance. He is not the typical politician, so he should not run for the next general election.
Dr. Azmi, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Azmi Hassan, Senior Fellow at the Nusantara Academy for Strategic Research, weighing in on the news that Tengku Zafro is an UMNO member. Let us know how you feeling about the news around this and the headlines surrounding Zuraida as well, which is what we're going to be talking about after this. But keep those thoughts coming. You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:37. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been talking about two ministers and their party movements, let's call it. Specifically, earlier we discussed Tengku Zafro and the fact that his UMNO membership has now been confirmed. Now we're going to be looking at the headlines around Datuk Sri Zuraida Kamarudin and the fact that she's left Bersatu to join Parti Bangsa Malaysia. We'd like to hear from you. How are you feeling about these headlines? You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Before we move on to our next guest, I think we have time for some of the messages.
So let's start with this by Kun Boon, who says, people don't care whether the individual is a politician or a technocrat. What is important is integrity, selflessness, and being morally and ethically accepted by the people. And, you know, Kun Boon, we could argue about this till the cows come home, simply because there are also, of course, proponents of technocratic appointments or technocratic assignations, in the sense that people prefer having a doctor, for example, being the health minister, a finance man as a finance minister, and so on and so forth. But the other part of it, I suppose, here is that it's difficult in terms of being accepted by the people when one is a senator who wasn't even elected. So it's slightly different, right? There's a further remove here of people having voted for somebody who is then put into the cabinet.
Yes, and also I think the point may also be, if you're not in favour of a particular party, you may be more willing to support a minister or an appointee that is perceived to be independent, right? So you often, you often associate the values of the party with the values of the person that represents the party. And so in this case, it might provide the kind of separation that some people prefer rather than a straight up political association. Murali, meanwhile, says, and on the topic of Zuraida joining PBM, says it doesn't come as a surprise. Anyway, two Katas are there waiting for her in PBM. Maybe more surprises to come.
Can we take more surprises? Who knows at this point? Although I will say that the waters have been relatively calm lately, which is perhaps why these are the kinds of headlines that are making splashes. Meanwhile, Nini says, how can a backdoor minister be elected by the... How can a backdoor minister be deemed as honest or loyal?
Well, these are the questions, but keep those thoughts coming. What do you make of the news surrounding Tengku Zafrul and Zuraida? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Moving on now to Datuk Zuraida Kamarudin joining PBM. And joining us is Professor Datuk Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharudin, Director at the Institute of Ethnic Studies. Prof, thanks for joining us today. So earlier today, Datuk Zuraida confirmed that she had quit Bersatu to join PBM. What were your thoughts when you first heard the news?
Actually, I've heard this news when PBM was formed. Her name was mentioned as a possible leader. So it's actually nothing new on this news.
And how do you see this move impacting Zuraida's position in our current political landscape?
Well, at the moment, PBM, where Larry Sheng and Stephen Chung, both MPs, have declared support for the government. So she also has declared support for the government. There are two things you have to look at. The first thing, will it affect if all the PBM members are together and part of the current government? They have only 111 seat in the parliament, but then if these three join in to support the current ruling government, then I think it won't affect negatively the government, nor it would wouldn't affect negatively Zuraida herself, because she still will be seen as a positive supporter.
But that said, Zuraida was, of course, one of the PKR MPs who moved to Bersatu during the Lanka Sheraton. Will this impact how her current shift to PBM is perceived?
I think we are dealing with a lot of frogs jumping around. So I think in many ways, this is another jump that she has made. So I think if you think of Sheraton move, then you don't... jumping is the thing. So I think that's why you have to look why we are not seeing any move towards the anti-hopping law that was discussed quite extensively, because there are about 38 to 39 people who have jumped from various parties and jumped from one section to the other and then jump back, and they are half in the cabinet. So I don't see this will be perceived negatively.
Meanwhile, PKR SecGen, Datuk Sri Saifuddin Nasution Ismail, did describe her move as a lesson for traitors. What do you make of the statement?
This is a frustrated statement, losing one already. She has lost. Datuk Sri Saifuddin already lost Zuraida when she followed the Sheraton move. So what else you can say? This statement for me is meaningless, because we know that many of them have done this, not only Zuraida.
We're speaking with Professor Datuk Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharudin, Director at the Institute of Ethnic Studies, about Datuk Zuraida Kamarudin's move to PBM. Do weigh in. What do you make of this? As well as the headlines on Tengku Zafrul and UMNO. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll continue our conversation with Prof after this, so keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:45. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And earlier we were discussing Tengku Zafro being a confirmed member of UMNO. And now we've been talking about Datuk Zuraida Kamarudin and her leaving Bersatu to join PBM. We're continuing our conversation on that. But do keep those thoughts coming. How are you feeling about this news? You can call 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're continuing our conversation with Professor Dato Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharudin, Director of the Institute of Ethnic Studies. So, Prof, to continue on from what we were talking about earlier, Zuraida has also announced plans to meet with the PM to discuss her resignation as the Minister for Plantation Industries and Commodities. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think what the PM can do, almost definitely she has to resign. That is without doubt, because her party doesn't belong to the current combination of PN and BN and PAS. So she has to resign. So however much the Prime Minister would like to have her and her, you know, see her track record is good, but I think the choice is very clear.
She also mentioned being attracted to PBM for its principles of multiracial engagement, youth and women empowerment, education, among others. How do her values align with PBM in the sense?
Well, she has been actually very open about multiracial relation in this country. You know, she's very inclusive. That's what I would say. And about youth and women empowerment and education. I mean, these are things that become the basic of what she organizes herself. And when she thinks of programs and projects, these factors underline what she does. So whether she is in the government or outside the government before him, she has been using these factors as part of her advocacy principle. So I think she will remain so, whether in the PBM or any other party. She will remain so because that's what she has been practicing since she was in PKR before.
So there have been reports suggesting that Zuraida has fallen out with Bersatu's leadership. What do we know about this? Could this be a factor in her move to PBM?
The only thing I know from what I have read and also heard is that she, when PBM was established, she mentioned to a couple of friends in Bersatu that she is moving to this new party. Would you like to join us? So she is quite open about this. And whether she was doing this because she's against Bersatu, I don't think that is the reason. The reason is she wants to operate like the way PKR operate, which Bersatu is totally Malay party, you know? So she moved to PBM, which is multiracial party. So she is really believe in multiracial engagement. So this is a very important motivation for her to move to PBM.
So on that note, have you observed any other key similarities or differences between the parties that she's been a part of?
Well, I think the most important part that we have to observe is PKR is a multiracial party. Bersatu is almost mono Malay party. So I don't think she's very comfortable with Bersatu. But you know, politically, whatever vehicle exists, they will use it for their advantage. So she has been part of Bersatu because she wants to move forward. But now with PBM, she's almost going back to the PKR principle, which is becoming a multiracial party, encouraging multiracial engagement about women, about youth. So I think she still is the same Zuraida as far as I'm concerned, except that she's shifting to a clearer picture in terms of what she wants to do besides PKR.
What can PBM offer to Zuraida that other parties can't? Do you see her transitioning into the party well?
Well, I think you must know that Malaysia, you cannot but organize party along different ethnic groups and interest groups. So PBM is just another version of Barisan, another version of Pakatan, another version of Angkatan Perpaduan Umar. So we have had this type of coalition because coalition is the only way to survive in Malaysian politics, because you have representation from different groups of interest groups and ethnic groups. So Zoraida's values, they are very much into this kind of the general framework that is already existing in this country. So I don't see any addition to that which will disadvantage her. In fact, it will be a smooth transition for her into PVM.
And how might the party benefit from her membership?
Well, at the moment, we cannot see the immediate benefit, but Zoraida has an NGO with 50,000 members that has joined PBM, and now she's coming in to provide the leadership. So I don't see her as an ordinary member. She's going to be the leader. She's going to be the top leader, with the president, deputy president. And that is very important because PBM will benefit from an experienced cabinet minister. So if she goes in parliament, she already knows how ministries are organized. Because you must remember that for a long time, for example, PAS was never a cabinet minister after the party leader Asari was the minister of land and mining, you know. So opposition party never had experience to be in a federal cabinet. So, but she has. She has under PH, under PM, and now, because of her moving to PBM, doesn't mean that experience cannot be put to use. So I think Zoraida has an advantage over even Larry Soong and Stephen Chung because they were not ministers. So this is where PBM will benefit from Zoraida's presence.
And what's the significance of the timing of Zoraida's move, particularly with respect to the upcoming election?
Well, this is why she has to move now, because she probably know that JA15 will be conducted this year. So if she doesn't make this move, how can they start campaigning? How can they start planning? So they have to have the most experienced leader in PBM today is going to be Zoraida, cabinet minister, holding two different positions over a period of the last 4 years. So they need a leader, and she can provide that leadership for the next election. And the negotiation, she knows who are inside Bersatu, inside UMNO, inside PAS. So the people in UMNO, PAS, Bersatu will see her as a credible leader. And because they sit together as ministers and friends. And people in PKR also, the PH also knows her. So she's quite an important figure that has to be seen as can be influential in the next general election, the 15th general election.
Prof, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Professor Datuk Dr. Shamsul Amri Baharudin, Director at the Institute of Ethnic Studies at UKM, weighing in on Datuk Zoraida Kamarudin's move from Bersatu to PBM. Do keep those thoughts coming. What are your thoughts on this and on Tengku Zafrul now being a confirmed member of UMNO? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And a bit of themed music. Here's Fleetwood Mac with Go Your Own Way, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.